September 1, 2023, so watch for Pedro's show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show, happy Saturday. Last one before my big tour coming up. MSSB. MainsteamStopValve.com if you want to know about that. Anyway, we started this show off with John Coltrane doing impressions live excerpt from November 22, 1962. And after that was Snake Oil with Non Credo. And as a result of Joe Berardi, suggest we got, because of them Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention.
There you go. Thank them.
I didn't get to introduce you yet, but there she is, people. Kira Volman. Welcome aboard, Kira. Please bring your earliest musical recollection memory.
Oh, my goodness. Probably Perez Prado and Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White. That was my parents' song, as it were, even though it's not a song. And they had a 45 of it. And as a little kid, and I'm older, so we had a turntable that you could crank up to 78 and just put it on speed and just dance around the house like crazy little kids. And that's probably my earliest memory. That and Peter and the Wolf.
So it's two memories, right?
Say that again?
Two memories.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Two memories. There you go.
Okay. In this pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
Not exactly. We bought a house that came with a piano. Well, they bought a house that came with a piano. So I would mess around on the piano. And then somebody gave me a guitar when I was a little kid. But no, my parents did not play musical instruments at all. I did have an uncle who played bagpipes, though.
And that piano that was in your pad, did you jump on that?
You're kind of cutting in and out. Did you ask if I jumped on it to play?
It's just a slang, yeah.
Yeah. No, I, as a little kid, I would just make up songs on that piano. Yes, I loved playing that thing.
But you didn't have to go through the ordeal of the piano lessons.
Well, actually, no. Eventually, the parents got rid of the piano because they were tired of hearing me play on it. And they didn't want me taking lessons because they didn't want any of the noise.
You know, John Cage said about noise, right?
I'm not sure I know exactly what, but I pretty much know where he stands on it.
Well, he said something about, like, you and somebody else having a conversation, even if it's Mozart or something, that's noise because it's getting in the way.
There you go.
Okay. School. Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
Choir. As soon as I was in school, I was in choir all the way up through or into high school. Yeah. I'll sing.
And what was the first record you bought with your own money?
It's another twofer. The Doors.
Yeah, the but Doors. First can only mean one, you know.
Okay. I'm not sure which one was the first.
That's all right. It's a Watford Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Then we'll just go with The Doors that I bought with my own money. Yes. You're
talking about the eponymous?
Yes. Okay. Yes, exactly. And I got it. At Tower Records in Westwood.
Okay. And what about the first gig you saw?
Well, I'm not sure if this counts, but I'm going to try it. I grew up in Malibu, and there was some sort of promotional thing for the Beach Boys when I was really young, maybe 8, and my girlfriend and I, and we weren't into the Beach Boys at all, but we thought, well, we'll go down there. But it was all just a bunch of older kids. I mean, it looked like beach blanket bingo. And so we weren't there for very long, but they were doing some promotional thing and playing a little bit.
Okay, and you said you got a guitar. Now, whose was that, your own or your parents? Or?
I think one of my parents' friends gave it to me.
And did you get lessons from a teacher?
Hell no. No lessons.
Well, I wasn't there. You got to tell me. When I get the fucking mind reading thing together, I won't even have to use words. No, I wasn't there, so I don't know. And I've had, you know, I've been doing the show 22 years, 4 months, and there's a whole spectrum of autodidact all the way to, like, you know, higher university and stuff like that. Okay, so you're self-taught. And was one of the ways you did it, like me and D. Boone, to supplement our learning besides Roy Mendez Lopez, was trying to learn songs off records. Did you do that?
You know, I really did not. I just tried to play what was in my head.
Ah, that's beautiful. That's what we learned from the movement. So you were starting to compose.
Basically, I don't know that I thought of it that way, but I guess so. And don't misunderstand, I ended up at a certain point taking some piano lessons when I was older.
We're still on guitar, though.
We're staying there for now.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm here because it leads to this question. If you give me a chance, after school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, did you get into the garage band, basement band, bedroom band thing with your friends?
For a little while, yes. When I was a teenager, there were these guys down the street that I guess they were kind of pretending to have a band, and I would get in on piano with this one guy who was playing piano, and I would just kind of hang out and sometimes join in, just kind of improvising more than anything, even though it wasn't improv music. It was just sort of, you know, if it was blues or whatever, just playing around in the key.
But you didn't bring your guitar. It was a piano. Okay.
It was piano then. Yeah, no, I never. Do you know, it's funny, I didn't really get that interested in playing the guitar until just a few years ago. I've always had one.
Well, you know what Orson Welles taught us? We'll sell no wine before it's time.
That's right. I remember that.
Remember those? I think that's the last work he did.
Isn't that sad?
What's sad is that wine, because that's some $2 chuck if I ever fucking...
Yeah, $2 chuck. That's right.
Anyway, stay on the subject. Sorry about that. This is your first time jamming with other cats?
Say that again. I'm sorry, because for some reason the connection's a little
weird.
Yeah,
you don't have to tell the audience that, okay? Just pretend like everything's righteous and perfect.
I think it's just from my end.
No, it's over here, too, but I've done this long enough that if you know about selling a gig, right? You have to sometimes suspend reality.
Okay. Well, then I'll pretend I hear the full question.
Yeah, they're hearing you say that, okay.
Of course.
Now, or you just asked me to repeat. What about first time you were jamming is with these cats where you're improvising on piano?
I don't really have a strong memory of it other than just doing it. I remember that one of the guys probably really hated having me around.
Oh, it's terrible.
Well, no, it's true.
I'm not saying it's not true, but it's terrible that motherfucker had to be like that.
Well, you know, sometimes people are still like that, you know?
Yeah, at least you guys had the excuse you were kids still. Well, I hope he grew out of it. Anyway, you get beyond this and have other musical experiences that are more positive, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Everything changed, you know, probably after I got out of school, you know?
Well, kind of, because you're telling me. But, okay, what happens when you get out of school?
Then I decided, you know, back in that day, what was it, the recycler? That you
would go, on Thursdays.
Yes, and you go...
Pink paper.
Yeah.
I bought all my cars, all my instruments, everything from that thing.
Everything came from that thing. And also...
people, it was like a Craigslist of those days, and they could run free ads, and it only cost 75 cents in the 7-Eleven, so that was our marketplace.
Exactly, and that's where musicians connected, too.
That's right, you could get in bands.
Yes, and that's what happened, was I started answering ads for, you know, either a vocalist wanted or this wanted, and eventually fell in with different people, and nothing... really took. So I started my own band.
Yes! I love it.
And then that went through a few different changes.
What was it called? Did you have a name?
Wax.
Oh, okay. Kay had a band called, you know, there's another lady I know named Kira, and she was in a band called Wax. Well, it was her brother Paul's band, but ain't that a trippy coincidence?
Well, it's a good name for one. You can call it, you know, think of all the album titles you can come up with.
Actually, it's a slang for an album, right? In the old days.
Right. So, you know, I just was thinking of turtle wax and whatever.
Okay. Did wax, was there a gig? What was the first wax gig like?
First wax gig might have been at Madame Wong's West.
I remember in Chinatown.
Yeah.
No. West was Santa Monica, right?
Santa Monica. Yeah, West was Santa Monica. That might have been the first gig for that. I mean, I had played other places, like Club 88 and something over in the Valley. I don't remember. There, you know, different places around town in some other band before I had my own. But my own, then we just played a handful of things. And then...
Tell me about that first gig. Was it a success?
I don't remember it.
Okay.
I don't remember it.
Because you can only have your first band, first gig of your first prod, only once. Mm. That's why I ask.
Say that again?
You can only have your first gig of your first prod once, and so that's why I ask.
Right, and I don't remember it. I do remember a first gig with a band I was with for a little while, and that it was at Club 88, and one of the people in this band called everyone he knew in the industry to come out for it, and everyone in the band except for me, because I didn't do drugs or anything like that, they all did coke, and the gig was horrible.
Shows to go, you people. We're going to learn from that lesson.
It was so awful, and I was mortified, and all these people had come out, you know. It was
shit all over them. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. People. Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah.
That stands out more than my first
No, I think that's fucking happening. Look, you gave me some more non-credo with Joe Berardi. Big teeth, let's listen.
Your smile runs off the photo as I catch it in the corner of my eye. I start to cry. The colors from the paper fall into the crack where the wall meets the floor. I walk out the door.
The lies you whispered to my ear were something to behold, and so I put them in a jar where I could look at them now and then
and shake them up and rattle them
and listen while they beat against the sides as they try to break out. Your breath. As I wander among my options, for to find the lesser of evil, one is never left enough to make the choice to live side by side with to share the voices scream. I'll take the gun.
Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Non Credo doing Big Teeth. Then Marnie Stern. She's back making music, playing speak. Emily Robb with her solo guitar record. She's running a studio in Philly. Solo and A. Richie sent this to me. Victoria Shen. Incredible person. Self-scratching record. Excellent. You know, you get a job at a synthesizer factory, so what do? You end up building, inventing and building them. Yaller, with Yaller 138. Bob Lord after that, Black Triangle from the Atlantic 2019. Martina, excuse me, Bertha, and Philip Slaughter with Swiss people. LFO 1, brand new. Cup, soon will be Flood. That's the people in the panhandle. What's it called? The Big Bend part of the panhandle, right? Florida. Cup is Yuka Honda with Nels Klein. And then finally, Kira Volman with her own name. itching, litigious.
Ah.
Kind of a lawyer word. Okay, so after that nightmare confrontation, cocaine addiction. Not personally, but kind of personally, because you're up there, you know, spending time learning their songs. It wasn't your band even. I'm interested, though, in the wax stuff, the material. Was it all Kira Vohman composition?
On what?
Wax.
Oh, yes. Everything was mine.
Wow, that's great. And did you write their parts, or did you, like, bring... Here, what do you hear when you play this for you? Or did you, like, write everybody's parts, make demos?
No, I let most of the people have their own parts, except, and this was a problem, except with the bass player, I would usually sing what I wanted the bass player to play.
Yeah.
And then I had, you know, bass players were very hard to come by back then and to keep.
Ah, there was one in Pedro.
I know, right? So I ended up not having a bass player for a while and actually having an electric cellist.
Oh, so you mean the problem was this cat would not do the lines that you sang to?
No, no. He would. He would, but then he left to join the
band. Oh, okay.
And then I had another friend's, the guitarist's boyfriend, come in and play bass for a little while, and then he went on to something else, and so then I had someone come in on cello.
Oh, that's the problem. And it was commitment.
Yeah, keeping them, because there just weren't enough.
Sure.
And so then I just went, fuck it, I'm going to, oh, can I say fuck it?
Yeah, of course. Bring it.
I just did. I decided
you might
get
your own show. You can make rules like that.
Right. So I went out and I bought a bass. And
whoa! Okay.
Play bass.
What a great inspiration, right? Like, no one can do this for me, so I'm going to learn it on my... People, learn from this. This is great. Go ahead. What was the first song you learned on the bass? Was it one of your own compositions?
Yeah, it would have been one of my own, yes.
Wow. Now, you doing some of that piano, you knew some left hand, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I didn't think of it that way. You know, I just would pick up instruments and just start playing them. And trust me, I'm not a virtuoso on anything. But if I can make a sound on it, I can come up with something.
I think that's very happening talent. Because what is the correct way? Because it's kind of a dilemma, right? What should be? And then isn't this a means to express myself?
I think that that's exactly what it should be, is how do you express yourself? And there, like with your show, there shouldn't be any rules, you know? It just...
Well, we got a paradox there, because that's a rule.
That's true.
It's all right. It's all right. It might be a language trick. We got to channel Mr. Wittgenstein.
There you go.
So how... But wax keeps going. It just goes through different manifestations.
It went for a while, and then I can't remember how, when, or why, but it all just fizzled out. And that was right around the time that, I had, once again, I actually met with a bass player. I think what I was trying to do was still find someone else to do it, but then I would have a bass to show them what the part was. Instead of just singing it, now believe me, I know what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So I met with... Oh, my gosh, I can't remember her
name. Look at my hands. Oh, it was a lady bass player. Great.
It was a lady bass player, and she was into ska music.
Which have really a fluid bass line. It's really moving kind of stuff.
Right. Well, the thing was, she was so not into my music.
I'm sorry.
And once again, we met through the recycler, and she was lovely, and she said, you know what? You need to go hear this band. This band is going to be your kind of thing. And I've been avoiding hearing them for quite a while. But she said, and I know the drummer, and I'll introduce, you know, I'll connect you to. She didn't want to introduce us in person. And that was Joe Berardi, the drummer.
Fibonacci's.
And the Fibonacci's.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I was avoiding going to hear the Fibonacci's in person. I think I'd seen them on, what was that show?
New Wave Theater?
Yes. I'd seen them on that, and other people had said, oh, you're going to love them. And I just didn't want to be influenced in any way by anything that I might naturally gravitate towards. But I finally went to hear them at Club Lingerie, whatever, and...
Underwear.
Sorry?
We would call it the Underwear Club.
Club. Exactly. The panties.
And remember that
so
place?
I met Joe there, and
you remember in Hollywood?
We ended up starting, you know, just playing together musically.
Kara, do you remember that place in Hollywood that just sold underwear? Maybe it was by the Beverly Center. There was a place that just sold underwear.
Yes, lingerie. I remember something like that. Did they have stockings also?
Yeah, well, it was in the window and shit like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joe Berardi, this is the beginning of Non-Credo?
It was. It didn't happen quickly. Joe was, at that time, you know, he's playing with the Fibs. And then at a certain point, he's going out on tour with Stan Ridgway. And so I started writing a lot of tunes to just do them myself. And he came back from a tour and was like, well, no, these are really good. I want to play on these. And so we did a recording, and it just grew from there. Yeah.
Like recording, because in those days, people didn't record at home much.
Say that again?
Well, in those days, people didn't record at home much. So where did you record?
At that time, I had a Fostex 4-track.
Ah, okay, yeah.
It's a cassette thing, and you put you could do two.
Sure. That's how we did the first Dose record. We traded cassettes. I was doing file trading in 1985.
Right. Well, after that, I got to
put a pause on here, like on the Fostex machine, right? Because we're at the end of the first hour, the September 1, 2023 edition of Rock Pedro Show. Special guest, Kara Vollman. Hold tight for hour two. September 1, 2023, it's the second hour of What for Pedro Show.
I'm keeping my nascent complacency in check. I'll not acquiesce, cause I ain't done yet. Have never in least I used. Sometimes my nose has been sacrificed. I'm a walking broadcast of my infirmities. Declining, degrading, decrepit debilities. Knocked on nostalgia, neuralgia like Tesla coil bike. I am misty anthropic in the geist of light. And
everything. Enchanting whispers around my ear.
For Pedro Show. Start off second hour with Kira Volman doing nascent complacency outside the geist. Zeitgeist people means spirit of time, huh? MSSV after that. That's a tour I'm going to do in the moment. In this moment, sorry. Guided by Voices. Awake Man. Brand new album. Surprised? Yeah. It's even months he puts out records. Bob Pollard, incredibly prolific. Infinite River after that, Summer Session number 7. Jeff Bishop, Pandelis, Kara Yorgis with Never Ending. And finally, Kira Volman, The Derelicts All Vie for My Affection. To continue with the non-credo origin story, you're doing recordings on your 4-track.
Yes, first on the Fostex, and then I decided... Well, because I had paid for a demo at Earl Mankey's studio. I had done a demo
Concrete
there.
Blonde. And, Concrete and Jeff Blonde, was on drummer man, right?
I'm sorry, Earl? I thought he was a guitarist.
Well, he had something with, what was her name? Concrete Blonde, the lady singer. Still in Hollywood, I remember the song.
Her name eludes me at the moment. I know who you're talking about.
D-Boon gave me that as a reason. You know, people are telling us at Minuteman we should move up to Hollywood because that's where all the gigs were. And D-Boon said, look, if we move to Hollywood, what are we going to write songs about? I said, maybe Hollywood? Yeah, he said, somebody already did that. Let's stay in Pedro. It's close enough to drive.
There we go, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, continue. You guys could do a demo.
So, yes. So there had been a demo, and that actually was my demo, but Joe was on it. And then because of having that experience, which was actually a really good experience, but I decided, no, I'm going to go get a Tascam recording system. And so I got, you know, half-inch, eight-track.
Wow.
Tascam and a board. You know,
I remember those.
And, you know, those mixing boards, you know, when it came to mixing your recordings, it was like you were performing as an orchestra or something. And it would Joe and I taking whatever side of the board and just having to go in and out because there was a lot of...
There's no automation, people, so they all had to been hand-operated.
Everything was hand-operated, and also because of the nature of the music, it wasn't like you could just let anything fly. In order to fit everything on those eight tracks, you know, one part would end, and now a whole different instrument's playing on the same track, and it would just be, you know, now you've got to pull this down, pull this
absolutely,
up, do this,
absolutely.
Do this, and it was a massive coordination to get it going. So we had that for years and used that, and...
What about live performances? What was the first non-credo gig?
Where was our first gig? Oh. Isn't it funny that I don't remember
these kind of bands? Okay, maybe it was like a Steely Dan band where you just recorded, right?
We did a lot of recording, but we did do gigs, but it could have been, you know, in places like art galleries more than anything.
That's all right.
Yeah, because we weren't... It was very difficult for us to get booked because of the nature of the music. It was just not your typical club fare for what was going on in the clubs in L.A.
Yeah, that's terrible. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So we got on someone's bill, and for whatever reason, we were sort of adopted by the CalArts music people.
Because your music took chances, and there's people who are going to school there that want to take you. Matoka Honda's been on the show, and Wada Smith became her advisor, and she almost got to hate music, but then there's something about it, so that's maybe why.
Well, I don't know what the whole thing was, but it worked really well for us. We ended up on bills with people who were CalArts students or musicians who had come out of that. And even though we weren't in playing the same vein as they were, we probably fit there more than we fit in a rock club. I mean, I remember that Brendan Mullen would never book us. He just refused.
By that time, let me tell the listeners, he's the guy who ran the mask and stuff.
Yeah.
But then he went on to book the Club Underwear, Sunset Boulevard there. And I remember him opening the drawer, and I saw a picture of the four-man Dills where they're wearing dresses.
It's really funny.
But it's weird about gatekeepers, because this movement was supposed to be about let the freak flag fly, and all of a sudden there's guardrails.
Exactly, and that was really... That's kind of depressing because...
Absolutely.
Sorry?
Absolutely. I agree with you, Kara.
I just thought that it should be... Like, the more weird the bill, the more fascinating and interesting it might be instead of trying to make everything fit well together. And...
Then you find out about this other reality, like, oh, we buy the beers for 25 cents and sell them for $3.
Yeah.
Here, let me play some more music. Another Kira Volman... composition, Nightmares on Toast. Apropos, huh?
Yeah.
I'm falling. I'm on the floor. I'm crawling. Scratching for a doorway out. As I scramble about, I hear 'cause I'm fading out. Started to pray, I'm going crazy.
Writing motion for us, you and I and you, us, the two of us, and I have a thought on what we have got, and that thought is that it's right, it's good, it's wonderful, it's marvelous, and I have a plan to do all I can, because I have a feeling that it's right. And I have a dream, and I'm here to tell you that dream has come true for me and for you. Yes.
Love. In a doorway, he sat with his dog and his hat. His mental infirmity caused him to self-inflict his physical deformity. $32 in uncashed social disability checks, which he kept crumpled and wadded up in his left boot. This ever-growing stash rendered him hobbled. So, in the doorway, he and the dog would sit and swoon. And for your paltry charitable contributions, he and the dog would
from his failed attempt as a stand-up comic would render him incapable of anything other than a career as a weathercaster for the local news. He decided it would be more prudent of him to just head straight for the gutter. And so, he and the dog sit in the doorway, in the culvert, in the alley, and they wait for your change, for the moon, for the wind, for the crown.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music start off Kira Volman. Excuse me. Nightmares on Toast. And then we had Bombus Prendon with Madam. I'm McAdam. Doug Wimbish, great bass man out of Connecticut. So with Loving Color right now. Perplex from his solo album. Samuel Locke Ward, Jad Fair with I Got a Feeling. Chris Patashel and Vuyo Sotasha with Easy, and in parentheses, Fight to Forget. And finally, Non-Credo, Hubris and Greed, speaking of club politics.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so Non-Credo is playing gigs, making recordings.
Right.
But you know this Kira Volman thing. Is that going on alongside, or is you putting all your music energy into Non-Credo?
At that time, I was putting all of it into Non-Credo, and then I started to write a piece, and if Joe wasn't really into it, I'd go, that's okay, it'll go into my solo album, thinking always that at some point I would do a solo album. So if he wasn't into it, it would just go to something else, was my plan. So then it ended up where some things just got written with the intention of a solo album, which really then came to the forefront when we had the pandemic. We're in the throes of lockdown and COVID, and it was sort of, well, it's now or never. And instead of having other musicians play these instruments, I guess I'm just going to go for it and do it all myself. So that's how that came about.
Yeah, because I think, tell me if I'm wrong, your solo album just came out, and we're talking number of years ago when this began, I guess, this idea of having the solo album, right?
Right, but I mean, I don't have a lot on this one, because I actually had enough material for, more than two albums, and some of it was already partially recorded, and it's just stuff that accumulated over time.
How many years?
Of accumulation of songs?
Well, that led up to the solo album.
Well, actually, there are only a couple on the solo album that are from early on, or, several years ago, because most of it was written during the pandemic.
Oh, okay. But you decided back in the early Non-Credo days that you did want a solo album. You just weren't writing a lot of material yet.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. I just, it's sort of if I had an idea, and the idea would go on the back burner. Uh-huh. So it's not like I finished writing it or whatever. It's just if I had an idea and I either sang it or played it,
sure,
for non-credo purposes, and it wasn't going to work, well, then I just kind of go, okay, well, put it aside. So I have a lot of material aside.
Repurposed.
Yes. Yeah. Some, but only a couple were repurposed for Outside to the Geist.
Okay.
Most of that was written as I was recording it.
Ah, okay. So it was like kind of current.
Yes, yes. And it was released in March of 2022. Yeah, March 2022.
A year and a half ago.
It's been out over a year.
Yeah. Well, like Mr. Wells taught us, no wine before it starts.
There we go. Yes, exactly.
Thank
again.
Mr. Wells, yeah. You know, one time I met him.
Did you
know that hot dog pad, Pink's?
Yes.
He had a chili dog in each hand. And he's walking from there. Like, Mr. Wells said, young man, I'd shake your hand, but I am busy.
Wow, that is funny. I have a song that I haven't recorded yet.
Yeah.
Called Big Man, and I mentioned
he was a big man. I mean, not just fat, but tall and wide. And yeah.
Well, I mentioned him in it, but I also mentioned Dee Boom in the song.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Look, we're at the end of the September 1, 2023 edition of Why Pedro Show, special guest Kira Volman. Hold tight for hour three. September 1, 2023, it's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
light sacrifices the palace and then finally surmises the light song from the eternal strife. I'm queen of the mountain, queen of the hill, of a mountain faithful that catches the seal of eyes and keep it all that I say. And if you're not listening, you better pray. I don't regurgitate much of boy out. The next time I open my mouth and spout some silly ass fairy tales, bullshit rant, directed at fools who obviously can't comprehend what's right. Front of their face, a superior being from an inferior race. Oh, I'm saying, you don't know a thing. Yes, sit there and laugh while I stand here and sing. Are you questioning? Can you listen to me? Listen to me. I am the queen. I am the queen. I am the queen. I am the queen. The ghost is the ghost of the end of the death of your life. I'm
Kung Fu. She doesn't want to be seen. She's not sure what to do. She doesn't want to be found. Not since losing her crown. He just slips and slides. She made for a good ride. He ain't got no pride. Is it time? She was kind of cute, but there was too much to smoke and too much to shoot. She felt good for a while, till she forgot how to smile. I'm waiting on a crack whore, I've got better things to do. There were rumors and stories, no one knows what's really true. Was she a guitar princess? Did she fall for the old gun blend? They just slip and slide. They just slip and slide. They just slip and slide. They just slip and slide.
For Pedro Show, start off third hour, Kira Vollman doing I Am the Queen. Of course. My Mitt Little Richard, you know I'm the king. Sure. Sure, Mr. Richard. Fence post after that with preparation. Here's Roman numerals here. So 75, Invasion 3. Roman numeral 3. Street Sex out of Texas with And I Grew Into Ribbons. Stefano Pellia, Italy, Bologna. Present Tension. And finally, Kira Vollman with Kansas City for a Day. Count Basie's town. Charlie Parker, too, was from there. To continue on, where we left off was like, because I kind of want to know the difference between Non Credo and Kira Vollman. Now I know. Now I know. The solo album that was a long time incubating. And stuff, but what happened? Because the Fibs kind of break up, right? And Joe Berardi's a little more free. Do you guys do more Non-Credo?
We did. We haven't been super active in the last few years. We get together now and then and play, but we haven't got a gig going or anything like that, or a new recording. We've been working on actually a covers album, just to be not like songs that would be non-Credoized, because obviously we wouldn't be able to play anything completely straight, I don't think.
You don't need that anyway. We got the original version.
That's right. Nobody needs to hear that again the same way from somebody else, you know?
Absolutely.
When we get together, we improvise a lot and see if that develops into anything. And
yeah, I wanted to ask about the process. What is the non-credo way of composing?
It depends. Sometimes Joe will write a piece, and I'll have an idea for lyrics and a melody, and that will happen. And maybe, you know, a clarinet part or whatever. And most of the time, I write the songs I'm singing. Most of them, because I just, you know, do that all the time. So a lot of songs are there. And because I'm the one singing them, I don't want to sing anyone else's lyrics. And
does Joe write lyrics?
I don't know that he does.
Yeah, okay. I think drummers, because Georgie with the Minuteman, he wrote some of our wildest words.
Really?
Yeah, I think because where they're sitting, and also this weird perception, kind of bigotry towards drummers being stupid and shit.
Oh, well, that's
fucked up. It's fucked up. Really biggest fucked mistake up. Was us putting Georgie in the back. Last 20 years, I've had all my drummers up front. So that's why I'm curious if Joe wrote you. But you wouldn't even sing Joe Berardi words.
You know, if he'd come up with something, I would do it for Joe, yes.
Yeah, so would I.
Joe's a very, very musical drummer.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I would call him lyrical.
Yes, absolutely. So he didn't go to
But he's also very grooving.
Yes.
Which is a good mix.
That too, yes. And so we do a lot, you know, we come up with ideas out of improvisations too.
Ah, and so do you tape like these big sessions and then you cherry pick the good stuff?
We've done it that way, and we've also, the thing is that Joe and I really naturally fall into improvising in a way that is almost spontaneous composition. And we just have this way, and maybe it's because we've been playing together for 40 years.
No, me and D. Boone had that. We never had to teach each other the other part. You just start playing to what that dude would play.
Yeah, and that's kind of it, Joe. I mean, we change at the same time, and we build in the same manner, and we both have this sense of not dragging it out, you know, where something's like, when you sit and you listen to someone improvise or whatever, and it's kind of like, okay, it could have ended. No, it could have ended there. Wait. No, it could have ended there. And they just keep going and going and going. And we try not to do that. I don't think we ever do that. We wrap it up. It's sort of, oh, it hit a peak. It's fallen into a perfect place to wrap up. Out we go. And
the tune has an arc.
Yes. And when it's over, it's over.
That's right. You take the L out of lover. It's over.
That's right.
No, Martha Davis, right? Motels.
That's right. That was,
you know what? They used to practice at the Mask. Probably the only new wave band. Practice at the Mask. That's what the other Kira told me. Yeah, because she used to run the prac pad when she was 17. Because Mask wasn't just a gig place. It was actually a prac pad at first.
Well, I used to live nearby there, and I would walk by all the time so I could hear people. Practicing and warming up and whatever else.
I thought for the last chunk of music to start off with Going Home. Let's listen.
Let us lay our dead to rest. done. What could have been won was the trade-off of life with all of the fun. Listen for a moment before we demand it, command without comment before we are handed down.
When is the time? I'll place you a sign. Extinction defined. The planets align.
The first is the same each morning. Silence will be forewarning. Whispering winds informing. Shake us from our ignoring.
Was there a day you wanted to pray? You knew what to say. I just sit and crochet.
No more pretending all is well. Crawling back into your shell. Hiding wherever you may dwell. Riding the hunt from the carousel. Just sleep tight. Tomorrow comes too quick. Day hurts your face light. Sorrow close to sleep.
That was the plan. Let's once in the can. Back where they began. Thrown away.
Flowers will bloom each spring. Vines will entwine hot things. that which is left standing. The fall on it is rising.
Who walked away? A gate unafraid.
The piper unpaid. Which one of you stayed? Waking with five to see thee. Facing with five to three thee. Chronically dire is your grief. And runs like a cipher and a thief. Just hang tight each week. But a day long thought and light thirsty for those who stay strong.
Why won't we trust? Not all is unjust. The end is disgust. A walk away.
Watch for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. That chunk started off with Going Home from Care of Omen. Apropos. Fisarum with Brother Knife. 100 Flowers. Yep, Urinals changed their name to 100 Flowers to get more gigs. Didn't work. They changed the name back. But this is during that period. They recorded at Radio Tokyo. Did you ever record Radio Tokyo in Venice with Ethan James?
No, I never did.
Okay. Well, they did this here. This
I knew him, and I knew of Radio Tokyo and Tokyo and the Radio Tokyo
tapes. That's why we did Double Nickels on the Dime.
No.
Yeah, that's where we did it. $1,100. I paid for it. Then the Brendan Eder Ensemble with Memories. And finally, Care of Omen, the Piper Unpaid, which is kind of like turning that aphorism around, right? You got to pay the piper.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Like, it's an outstanding debt?
Yep, yep. This is my prog rock tune.
So you got a sense of genre then. No. What's going on right now in this moment for you musically?
Right now, musically, I am in flux. I have a building in the Altadena area that I am rehabbing part of. And once that section is rehabbed, I can all of a sudden bring out my music gear and start playing here again. And we rented out one side for a while, and it was impossible to play here. And so I'm going to get back to that very soon, and I'm going to work on the next solo record. And Joe and I are going to be working on something for Non-Credo to do live. So we've got all these plans in the works, and I just need another month or so before I can get everything set up here.
Sure, sure. And is there a place on the internet where people can find out more about you and your music?
Bandcamp is one place.
Well, what would be the URL? Would it be kiravolman.bandcamp.com?
It's com, and then I don't know if it's / Bandcamp. If you just go Bandcamp and look up Pure Volman, you will.
Yeah, they usually have the name.bandcamp.com. That usually gets you there. And, okay, really, I didn't get to ask you about influences because you're such a self-taught thing and it was, you know, such a personal experience, music for you. Did you ever look outside to other influences?
I think we all do. I don't think I looked, but you can't help but be influenced by anything and everything you hear.
I've had people on the show who say, no, nobody's ever influenced them.
but that can't be possible. If you're listening to, if you've ever heard anything else, I mean, I, every once in a while, do field recordings and to use in music. And I have this recording from an escalator that's super noisy at the Paseo in Pasadena.
That's a mall, right?
It's got this rhythmic noise going on, and so I'll record that. I mean, and that ends up being used or influencing something. I mean, everything here is going to influence you. It has to.
Or reaction against it.
Well, yes, but then it's still influencing
you. Yeah, that's what I mean. Even if you react against it, it has an influence on you. Even if you don't adopt it and you react against it, it still has its influence. I totally agree with you. But I'm saying like a musician maybe that you consciously focused on.
No.
Okay.
No one specific. I could give credit to everyone I've ever listened to. That's all. You know, every vocalist, every bass player.
Benny Goodman?
No.
The Licorice Stick, right?
Yeah. The thing is, that's funny. Did you know that Joe's dad played with Benny Goodman?
I think you said something about it.
Yeah. No, that didn't.
You know, the bitching thing about Benny Goodman, he hired Charlie Christian.
There you go.
Yeah, much respect.
Hey, I don't know if you remember the Angels Gate Sassus gig.
You know, I've got the longest lease there. My prac pad's been there 36 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, so do you remember Cindy Bernard had Sassus and she
Cindy Bernard is class of 76, San Pedro High, same as me.
Oh, wow, cool. She put on this concert where it was trios pulled from a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted so badly to be pulled with your name.
But it didn't happen. I know. I remember that.
Yeah, I thought bass clarinet and you on bass, it was going to be so great. This is what, in my head, I was putting it out there, and it didn't happen. So someday maybe it
will. One day, one way. I still got the prac pad, so if you ever want to play there, got the drums set up, Joe Berardi could come and fucking help us out.
That would be fun.
Yep, bass amp, the guitar amp, the PA, the whole thing set up, ready to go. 36 years, oldest leaseholder. It was the officer's head. I tore out all the shitters, put up a hatch and bulkhead, and repurposed it. I want to thank you so much. When this next solo album comes out, can you please come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
I would love to.
Okay, great.
Okay. Right. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you, Joe Berardi, for the connect. People, it's been the September 1, 2023 edition of Wapedro Show. I'm going to be gone for a couple months on tour, but when I come back November, we pick up where we left off. Keep your powder dry!